You know, are there cities that you go to that are you find especially musical, where the people are playing music outside or venues where you're like, well, this city stands out because it is a haven of a specific kind of music?
I'd say, well, I went to celebrate Portreadyr, water splashing festival.
Sure.
I think it is in English. Last year in Sichuan Banna in Yunnan. And that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
There's so many songs and instruments and music and crazy water fights, and it's all this kind of religious ritual, actually. Mm. But to go there and experience that and just be in the heart of that was an amazing experience. And I realized that these instruments that do have thousands of years of history are still very much part of modern Chinese culture. So then I went down the rabbit hole and found, oh, actually, China also has all of these other amazing sounds, these other amazing instruments, and also 56 ethnic minorities, each with their own instruments and ways of life as well. So that's why I came, and then that's why I stayed.
Welcome to The Bridge. Fun conversations on culture, life, and everything in between.
Find us where you get your podcasts. If you like the show, then consider pushing the like button or giving us 5 stars. Suggestions, comments, anything you would like to share, email us at welovethebridge@gmail.com. We love The Bridge. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to The Bridge. With us today is Sean Gibson. He's a self-described, quote, visually impaired British musician living in China. Sean travels around doing live videos, shows, and adventures throughout China. He sings, plays Chinese instruments, and is insanely popular on Chinese media platforms like Douyin, where he has 1 million followers. If you are looking for him on YouTube, search Sean Gibson or at Sean Gibson Muso, M-U-S-O. He is a British singer-songwriter, music producer, vlogger who's exploring China and the world writing music. Welcome to The Bridge, Sean.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I think the first thing people want to know is, when did you come to China? Why? I think that's probably where we should start.
That's the first question I always like to ask foreigners as well. It's what's your story? Why did you come? For me, it all started about 10 years ago when I was studying music at Liverpool University in the UK. And half of my classmates were Chinese. Mm. And I was just super curious about where they were from, why they came to the UK, and I wanted to learn more about them and gradually started making friends. They took me to KTV.
Mm. And In the UK.
Yeah. In Liverpool. Yeah. Which is not British culture at all.
Yeah.
Karaoke for us is still like going to the pub and having a microphone, standing on stage, and maybe you can choose one song. You get to sing one song for the whole night. And then for the rest of the time, you have to listen to everybody else singing. But this was a whole different experience because it's a private room with a TV and you can order whatever songs you want. And the music, the songs that they were choosing was obviously Chinese songs, which I'd never heard before. So for me, sitting in the KTV room, although I was still in the UK, it really felt like I was in a different world. And I was fascinated by that because having almost graduated, I was looking for new inspiration for my own music as well. Because although I really love Western music, and I really do, I find everything sort of recycles itself. It keeps going in circles. Like now 80s has become really popular again. And I'm sure like in the next few years, 90s is going to become popular again. And that's great. But I wanted to find inspiration from somewhere else. And then suddenly I was, as fate would have it, just suddenly discovered Chinese music, the sounds of China. So I decided to come to China myself to explore. And it was during my first trip, I found a pipa player in a Chengdu shopping center. Now, I'd heard the sound of pipa before in the UK, but it was always presented to me like sort of history. So I thought this instrument was kind of like a cultural relic, not something that you would find in daily life in China. So to see it played in a shopping center, just like I would find a guitar player busking on the streets of Liverpool, was fascinating to me. And I realized that these instruments that do have thousands of years of history are still very much part of modern Chinese culture. So then I went down the rabbit hole and found, oh, actually, China also has all of these other amazing sounds, these other amazing instruments, and also 56 ethnic minorities, each with their own instruments and ways of life as well. So that's why I came, and then that's why I stayed.
Can I ask you, how long ago was it you moved to China?
I've lived in China now for about 4 or 5 years. Well, I first came to China 10 years ago.
Well, where did you first come?
I first came to Beijing, actually.
Could you tell us about the first of your time in China? What was that like? How did you find culture was the same, different, surprised you?
So the first time I landed, the first thing that hit me food, I think, I realized, I have never tasted Chinese food before. I used to think that Chinese food was sweet and sour chicken and fried rice. Mm. And I couldn't find that on the menu anywhere here. And then afterwards, actually, what hit me the most during the whole trip was that just how similar it was to the West in a lot of ways. Because I expected, like from the news and from just bits of information that I'd got, I realized that China was a big place and I could see massive skyscrapers and huge metropolises of cities. But then on the other hand, I could also see these beautiful, vast landscapes. And because I'm from the UK, which is kind of a small country, I couldn't imagine that one country could have so much inside it. Sure. So that's what blew my mind. It was the fact that all of that can exist in one place. Mm-hmm. But whilst I was in Beijing, there are still parks, there are still restaurants, there are still museums. Everything is quite similar in that sense, but the expression of that is different. So I'll give you an example to explain my point. Mm-hmm. So you go to a park, mm-hmm. everyone's exercising.
Yeah.
But the kind of exercise that they do is different.
Yeah.
So people in the UK tend to run. At that time, they weren't running. Now they're running more. Mm. But back then, it was walking backwards, doing Tai Chi. And
have you seen the one where they bang their back against the tree?
I haven't seen that one yet.
Someone told me about it. I only saw it for the first time a couple months ago. But older people, sometimes they get close to a tree and they kind of just bang the back against the tree.
What's the wisdom behind that?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to try it for sure.
Is it some kind of massage maybe to relax?
But yeah, they're totally different exercises. And then you have Tai Chi, sword play. I was really surprised. Yeah. There's old ladies with swords in the park.
Yes. Yes. If that was in another country, it might be a different reason. And also my favorite is the Guangchang Wu. What's that in English?
I don't know.
Plaza dancing.
Plaza, yeah, sure.
Plaza
square,
dancing. Square dancing.
Yeah. We lived in Wuhan. It's on a whole other level there. Like if you go to some parts of the river, there's thousands of them all together, huge light shows and different music. It's crazy. Here in Beijing, there's just little areas with 20 or 30 or 50, but in some cities, it's just insanely big.
So it was actually in Wuhan, just outside the Tangsung Temple. What's that called? Yeah, it was actually Xi'an that I first saw.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you said that you've lived here 5 years, but you started coming here 10 years ago. So your first time in China was just a trip kind of to explore. What was it like? Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'd learned about China from my friend's stories, but obviously seeing it for yourself is a very different thing.
Well, at what point did you make the decision, I don't want to just visit China, I want to spend time there, like living there and experiencing it in that way?
I guess I dipped my toe into Chinese culture enough and I decided that I wanted to dive in. Primarily, what I really wanted to do was share Chinese culture with more Westerners, actually, because when I first came here, I was just amazed by everything. For me, I really felt like a kid in a candy shop, because in terms of inspiration, there's just so much here as an artist that can inspire me. And I'm the kind of person that I find something and I want to tell everyone about it straight away.
Yeah.
But then I realized, actually, for two reasons, I need to be here. First of all, Westerners aren't ready for it yet. At that time, they weren't ready for this kind of music. And the second thing was I realized just how deep Chinese culture goes. So in order to share something, I really need to fully understand it. And I'm never going to be able to fully understand Chinese culture. It's way too rich and way too deep. But at least I need to have a deep enough understanding of it so that when I'm putting it into my work, it's kind of respectful.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's cultural assimilation rather than appropriation.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're going with that. I got to see you live recently here in Beijing. You played at Mao House in Kaohsiung. And one of the things that you did in your performance was take a Chinese instrument out. I'm sorry, I do not know what that is called. It was kind of a flute of some kind.
Hulusa. I've got it today.
Oh, yeah? That's fantastic. But what instruments in Chinese culture have you dabbled in, and which ones have you really learned?
So I've dabbled in a lot, meaning I've written melodies and written parts for For example, pipa, guzheng, erhu, guting, hulusi, dizi, suona. Did I say erhu?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Wow, that's hard.
Xiao and yangting. Did I say yangting?
I don't know. But you say you can play pipa?
I can't play pipa, but I can write melodies for pipa.
Ah, I see.
So because I'm a songwriter and producer, so I can write parts for these instruments, and then I'll work with players in a recording studio to then bring those parts to life.
Hmm.
So although I can't play all of the instruments, by working with the players, I get to know more about the instruments, more about how their specialities, because every instrument has their own technique, has their own special sounds. And so I can work with the players to bring that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm learning how to play hulusi.
Wow.
And also dizi.
I'm not actually sure what dizi is.
Oh, Chinese bamboo flute.
Oh, wow, that sounds beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I'd love to hear you play it at your next performance.
Yes.
So one question I have is, you know, you mentioned you were really inspired by going to KTUK and that this was a new music to influence your art. So it seems like you were already a musician by that time. So were you always a musician? Were you always a... When did that happen in life for you?
So I have loved music from the moment I was born, apparently. my parents told me that I was... Like, as soon as they put music on, before I could even walk, I was, like, moving my body. I couldn't stop. I was on the stage the first time when I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I was running over to my neighbor's house because he had a keyboard, and I was fascinated by it. I was like, wow, you press this button and this sound comes out. This is amazing. I want to do that too. So from very, very young age, I was playing around with instruments and just like toys, really, for me. Just exploring. And when I was 9 years old, I started to play piano. I had formal piano lessons, which then enabled me to sort of bring these ideas to life, because through learning piano, you learn a lot about music theory, and you can learn to write melodies for other instruments as well by using the piano. Oh yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
You've also extensively written about China. When we saw you, a lot of your performances were part of your experience of traveling throughout China. Can I ask you from where you draw inspiration to do that?
So for me, it's... I also make vlogs and videos about my travels in China because I like to share the experience of discovery with people as well.
Mm.
And so every sort of music video that I do also has a vlog attached to it. So anyone that's interested in learning about how I'm inspired can go and watch those as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, I will do some research about a certain place. For example, Yunnan.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a festival called Po Shui Jie, and there's also so many ethnic minorities. So I just go there, immerse myself in the culture for as much as possible, and then I will write a song about my feelings and about the journey that I've had there, and then put some of the sounds of that local area into the music as well. For example, one of my songs called Xin Zai Yunnan, Hearts in Yunnan, and there's a hulusi part in there. And that's why I started learning hulusi.
So would every city that you go to, that you stay for a few days, is going to inspire you to make a new musical piece, yes or no?
No. not only a few days, but...
So if I'm the mayor of Nanjing and I'm like, oh, I want a song about Nanjing, all I have to do is invite Sean there, would that happen?
That's happened.
Are you listening?
That's actually
if you're
happened.
Mayor of a city, Sean just
I wrote
a
song called Changsha City.
Yeah, fantastic.
And yeah, because I've spent more time, it really depends where I've spent more time as well. So I've spent a lot of time in Changsha and also in Guangdong, Dawanqu, the Big Bay, Greater Bay area, right?
Yeah.
In English.
That's right.
Yeah.
Greater Bay area.
Greater Bay
that's
area. Cool. So I've written songs about those two areas.
Wow, that's fantastic.
About my experiences there. So the local culture, the local food, the local hangout places, these kind of things.
You know, I noticed that your inspiration seems to come from everywhere, because I was on your YouTube. Douyin's less accessible to me, but some of them are like about video games, for example.
Oh, yeah. Well, the story behind those are they're actually cover songs. So they're songs that have already been written for games.
Yeah.
In either in the Chinese language or Japanese language, or first Japanese, then Chinese. And then I like, because I just love the melodies. I love the songs. So I just kind of want to do my rendition of an English version.
You know, I noticed you also sing in Chinese. Do you think that is one of the things that has brought you popularity here in China?
I don't know, to be honest. I think there are a lot of foreigners who can also sing in Chinese.
Before the interview, you mentioned going to Suzhou to study Chinese. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
How good is your Chinese? How's it going? Can you have a basic conversation with people?
Yeah, I'd say my Chinese level is pretty conversational. I can do interviews in Chinese now.
Wow.
But if it's talking about topics that I'm not that familiar with...
Because there'll be specialty words.
There are lots of specialty words, exactly.
So you do have now about 1 million fans on Douyin. You have a lot of fans on other platforms as well, including YouTube. But, you know, 1 million fans on one platform, that's crossing kind of an important marker. How do you feel about your popularity here in China?
I think... it's just a sign that what I'm doing matters to people, I guess. Because as an artist, I create the works that are an expression of myself.
Sure.
And to put that out into the world and have people like it, is really all an artist can ask for.
Right.
So having 1 million followers on Douyin, 1 million followers on Bilibili and other platforms really is just a sort of... sign that what I'm doing is worthwhile to people.
Absolutely.
And worth carrying on.
So, you know, and your fame continues to grow outside of China as well. So you mentioned earlier in this interview that you were originally trying to tell China's story to the world.
Yeah.
To people outside of China. So are you satisfied that a lot more people outside of China are now taking an interest in your music as well?
Increasingly, but nowhere near on the scales I would like.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that in the next few years I can reach more people worldwide, but I'm also a slave to an algorithm just like everybody else.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So it's finding the right package that people can enjoy, because I've been in China now for so long. I kind of get a taste for what my Chinese fans like.
Right.
But internationally, it's a little bit more tricky because there are so many different cultures as well outside.
Yeah.
And everyone has like YouTube, for example, what British people like to watch and what people in Malaysia like to watch is probably very different. So I need to find my audience. I haven't quite found my international audience yet. But it's increasing.
You're from the UK. Would you say that's the center of your, you know, target?
Not really.
No, not really.
No, I'm from the UK, but I don't really see myself as British or anything. I just see myself as an international citizen,
Yeah.
I'm just a person of the world. And wherever my people are, wherever they are, you know, in terms of fans. And I appreciate every single one of them.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a guy on YouTube, which makes me smile. He's a Russian guy listening to a British guy singing in Chinese. That sums up the kind of audience I want.
It's a very international. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
Most people come to China for 1 year or 2 years. You've been here living here 5 years, you say. So did you always intend to stay in China long term? Or was that something you decided after living here?
I'm the sort of person that kind of fearlessly follows the river of life wherever it may go. I like to seize life by the horns. I initially just sort of thought I'd come and travel here and then go back. And then that turned into living here. And now I don't have any plans to leave. So yeah. I think that's a common story with a lot of expats, right?
A lot of long-term expats have a very similar story, but not all expats become long-term expats.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So for those of us who have stuck around, we have a similar story. We came for a year or two and then, wow, I really like it. I'll just stay, right? Well,
can I ask why you decided to stay?
Well, I'm actually the exception. When I came to China, I intended on staying here. So I've not met anyone else who said that. Everyone says, oh, I'm coming for a year or two. I just loved it and I stayed. But for me personally, I was like, I'm moving to China. That's it.
Wow.
Well, everyone could see the graphs of the Chinese economy skyrocketing the next 30 years. And I was like, that sounds like a nice place to live.
Yeah. Actually, going back 10 years now, I also had a similar idea. I could see China rising. And I was also very curious about this. What is this? Where's this country come from?
Yeah.
Because for me, it was like being blindsided. I had no concept of China like 12 years ago. I didn't, honestly, I couldn't differentiate anything, any country in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
It was all just, oh, Southeast Asia. And then after I met the Chinese friends and started getting into the culture, I was like, wow, okay, this is amazing.
Mm. Can I ask you about writing music? Something that I don't really do. So where does that start? Do you sit down and is the melody first, or do you have the idea for the philosophical idea you want to impart, or is it a feeling, or do you pick up an instrument and just start playing? Where do you begin?
All of the above.
All of the above. So different times, different strategies.
Exactly.
Maybe you just happen to have this instrument sitting around, so that's where it comes from.
Yeah, exactly. It really depends on, sometimes I really sit down and intentionally say, okay, today I want to write a song. Other times I can be walking around a place and just be absorbing everything, and then a few days later I go home and then suddenly this song gets downloaded into my brain.
Yeah.
In completion, like I can hit everything.
Really?
In my mind. Yeah.
Wow.
They're the best ones. The best ones are where I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is like act like a pen.
So your brain
actually write it down.
Some part of your brain just does it for you.
Yeah.
And then you just transcribe it.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like that.
Do you get music in your dreams that come like that? Like, what's that melody from my dream like?
No, it's more like daydreaming.
Daydreaming.
Yeah. So yeah. It'll be like walking home or walking around a park or something like that, and then suddenly this inspiration comes out of somewhere, some mystical place.
When you're composing in Chinese, in the Chinese language, do you run by the grammar with someone?
So the Chinese, I don't write the Chinese lyrics myself.
Oh, yeah.
My Chinese level isn't that good yet.
Wow.
So I'll first write an English version and then have that and then work with another person to help me to rewrite the same feelings or the same emotion or the same topic or whatever it is into Chinese.
You know, you mentioned traveling around China. We all have seen a lot of videos of you throughout different parts of China. Some of the beautiful places like Yunnan, like we mentioned, and Xi'an, which is also famous for being, you know, amazingly beautiful city. Could you tell us about some of the places that you've been?
Yeah.
What stands out for Sean?
I'm glad you didn't ask me the question that most people ask, which is, what's your favorite place in China? I'm like, that's a terrible question. I can't answer that. There's too many places.
What's your favorite movie? It's impossible to answer.
What's your favorite song?
Yeah.
Christ, I don't even have a favorite decade. let me have a think. Suzhou is definitely a beautiful place, full of rich culture and history. Very relaxed city. Beijing as well.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in Beijing. I really love Beijing. It's the capital. It's got a lot of, it's got the Forbidden City and all of that kind of grand royal kind of feeling behind it. Mm-hmm. Lots of red and gold, and
yeah,
it's a fantastic backdrop for music videos. but also places like Chongqing. I love Chongqing. Chongqing, yeah. I describe as a spicy city.
Yeah.
And it really is an attack on the senses. Everyone there is so spicy as well. I think it's all of the chili that they're eating. And it's just so lively. Mm. Have you ever been to Chongqing?
Yeah, I was just there last year for the first time, because I've been here 12 years, I'd never gone. And I was like, you know, this is one of the biggest four cities in the country. I really got to go. So I spent a few days there. It was very lovely. I was actually incredibly surprised. It looks more monumental than some of the other cities because they're on hills. And so you see skyscrapers at different levels everywhere. It's a very interesting kind of style for a city.
And you never know what floor you're on, because yeah, there's like three ground floors.
Yeah.
The first time I arrived in Chongqing, actually, we arrived at our hotel and I was looking around and there's no hotel here, but it's definitely this location. And we were on the roof.
Wow.
And we looked down and it was a 30-story building.
Wow.
And we were on the roof terrace when we arrived, but it looks like the ground floor because it's literally built into the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
It's an incredible place. And yeah, the first time I went though, I thought everyone was shouting at each other. I thought everyone was having an argument because they speak with such passion and ferocity. That it sounds like an argument. And even now, I'm only just being able to tell every time I go back, I'm only just being able to tell if they're arguing or not.
You know, that was the way I found Beijing 10 years ago. It's not true anymore, but 10 years ago, the Lao Beijing, the original Beijingers of Beijing, they do that too. They yell at each other, but they're just like talking.
Yeah.
But it seems to have kind of gone away, or like, you know, been subsumed in the new modernity of the city. So
I think maybe is that because so many YD Ren have gone there.
I don't know.
Or maybe people from Dongbei and other areas have gone. So they've, I don't know.
They're mixing up and culture is becoming more national as opposed to local. You know,
I don't think you'll ever tame Chongqing Ren.
same question, but just about music. You know, are there cities that you go to that are, you find especially musical, where the people are playing music outside or venues where you're like, well, this city stands out because it is a haven of a specific kind of music?
I'd say, well, I went to celebrate Porsche Deer, water splashing festival.
Sure.
I think it is in English. And last year in Sichuanbanna in Yunnan. And that was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. There's so many songs and instruments and music and crazy water fights. And it's all this kind of religious ritual, actually. Mm. But to go there and experience that and just be in the heart of that was an amazing experience. So I'd say Sichuanbanna definitely has a very rich culture. It's very tangible.
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, I also went to Chaoshan, this just spring festival just gone, and experienced the wildest spring festival celebrations I have ever had in my life. Firecrackers. You have never experienced firecrackers until you go to Chaoshan.
Really?
Literally every shop has their door frames lined with them.
Wow.
And they're all set off at the same time, and it's literally like this explosion. There's a video of me on Douyin running away because I'm just scared. And fireworks. And but more importantly, there's just so many like religious ceremonies and celebrations, like they have this. It's really hard for me to talk about this in English. I'm so used to talking in Chinese. So how to say Yolong? How to say Yolong?
Yolong. Dragon? Long?
Walking, wandering dragon?
Wandering dragon. I don't know.
Yolong. Wandering dragon. Okay, so it's like a lion, a dragon dance, long dance. Mm. And they start in a square. There are three of them.
Mm.
And then they all kind of wander off in different directions around the town or around the village to bring good fortune to the local people.
Yeah, yeah.
And at every stop, they have like different stops along the way.
Yeah.
And at every stop, they set off the firecrackers and fireworks. And obviously, there are three of these longs all in nearby to each other.
Yeah.
So you literally look around the city, 360 degrees.
Yeah.
There are firecrackers going off and fireworks
and
everywhere.
Dragons.
And it's just incredible. And that's just one event in one village.
Wow.
Every village. And when I say village, I actually mean city village.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a district. And
right.
Every single district will have one of these going on. So one of these, this one finishes, the other one starts, and it's every day.
Wow.
Every day for at least 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
That sounds amazing.
It is incredible.
I think you've done more in this like last five minutes to sell people on coming to China than any interview I've ever done before. Where have you not been in China yet that you still want to go?
I haven't been to Inner Mongolia yet.
Oh, there's a lot of music there too.
There's a lot of music there. I'm really fascinated by the deep singing, the deep voice singing, and also the matoutin, horsehead fiddle.
I don't know.
What is it? Horsehead fiddle?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. And I'd also love to visit western areas of Sichuan, and also going to Tibet as well, because there's some songs from Zhangzu, Zhang ethnic minority group, which are just absolutely soul-touching to me. I was walking on the streets in a town just outside of Chengdu, and I just came across this guy singing in the street, playing his guitar and singing, and it was the most beautiful singing I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
It just touched my soul, so I definitely have to go and
find more like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found Chengdu to be fascinating as well. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
Okay, I have another question about you as a performer, because we went to see you in Mao House. Obviously, you travel around China to different venues, and you have a huge fan base. People have, what are those, like, not LED lights, but those lights that light up the stores use, and they were holding them up with your name on them, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was outstanding. So, you know, when I go to see my favorite band, my favorite performers, there's usually a song that everyone wants to hear. So you go see Radiohead, you're Creep, right?
Yeah.
So are there specific songs that your audience are, like, demanding that you perform every time they go out?
I haven't had a huge hit yet. I haven't gone to be a whore. So I'm not. Everyone has a different favorite at the moment.
Sure.
Some of the favorites are Journey, the last song that I did.
Yeah.
The finale. The encore. Pass It On is also another favorite. And yeah, I think they're the two that stand out for
some
me that most people request.
So
and also some cover songs as well, like,
well, for example,
that I've done, like Lonely Warrior.
Is it a Chinese song?
Yeah, If I Stay. Some people have been with me since I covered If I Stay literally like 9 years ago.
Yeah, I do notice.
Which is amazing.
We were talking about a friend of ours, Mark Levine, who's a singer-songwriter. He covers Chinese songs, and sometimes I love his original music. I really do. I think it's some really amazing. But when he covers a Chinese song, you can see Chinese people like sitting up, wow. He knows a Chinese song, so it's very impressive foreigners when they have that skill. Can I ask you a different question? What do you, you know, you've been here a long time. What about your family back home at K? What do they think about you living here for so long?
I think my mom would hope that I go and move back to the UK because her little boy's, you know, on the other side of the world. But they also really respect my decision to be here. Mm-hmm. And they also love watching my videos and hearing my stories
right.
about China.
Sure, yeah. That makes it easier because you can always just turn YouTube on and watch you.
Yeah, they're really supportive. And they also plan to come and visit this year.
For the first time?
For the first time, but yeah.
Where are you going to take them?
Which for them is huge
yeah.
because they're the sort of people that just like to, they've spent 90% of their life in the same town.
Mm.
They don't really go anywhere. And a holiday for them is traveling like 2 hours to another town, which to me looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But for them, so for them to travel, even to travel on a plane for 10 and a half hours, 11 hours to make the journey for them is a huge step. So the fact that I'm able to sort of, I guess, inspire them to come is it's really nice. It's kind of like, thanks parents. Now you can come and, you know, thank you for bringing me up and thank you for making me the person that I am today.
Yeah.
And like, here's the gift of China.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Besides the Great Wall and the Forbidden City, what do you want them to see?
I hope to give them the kind of experience that they want to have, because I've fallen in love with Chinese culture for the reasons that I have, because I love music. And
right.
I think my dad really loves food. He's a big foodie.
Yeah.
So I've got to take him to Chengdu and Chongqing to try, because
sure.
he loves spicy food as well.
Oh, wow.
And also, yeah, and also they love crispy duck in the UK.
Yeah.
But they've never had Beijing kao yao.
Oh, yeah.
They've never had Peking duck.
You know,
it's very different.
Recently that Nanjing has their own, like, oh, no, our duck is better than Beijing. So there's a rivalry there. I want to compare now.
Yeah.
Because I'd only ever heard outside of China that Beijing duck, oh, you need to go try that. Then I met some Nanjing folks and they were like, no, Nanjing duck. It's all about our duck.
And I think Guangdong also has duck.
Yeah. So
and pigeon.
Regional competition for who has the best duck.
And I think for my mom, she just loves to be in nature, which China has an abundance of.
Sure, yeah.
So I'll probably take my mom to see the rainforests and the mountains.
Wow. I felt very lucky. I got to Chengdu and we went to some small town. I can't remember where it was. Lishan or something like that. And we went to a Buddhist temple in the middle of the day and it just started bucketing raining. I mean, rain I haven't seen in 10 years. And I felt in that moment very fortunate because I was under a roof, but looking out at this spectacle of like rain. And I wasn't like, oh, no, I'm trapped here. I can't get to a car or something. I was just like, maybe this is one of the most resplendent things I've ever experienced.
Wow.
So, bad weather can be good, too, you know, in terms of that kind of stuff. You say you want to share Chinese music with the world. What about your experience of living in China? Sometimes folks back home don't always see China in the way that we do. So how do you think that your experience of China is different from how people may imagine China? Well, how is China different than sometimes how it exists in the imagination of people back home?
That's a tricky question because I think everybody has their own experiences and everyone's had different messages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'd say anyone that hasn't been to China really knows very little about China.
Yeah.
Unless they've read books or watched a lot of vlogs and have really researched or studied or has an interest.
Mm.
Other than that, I think people don't really have any idea.
Yeah.
Because China's way too big, way too complicated, and has a cultural history of thousands of years.
Mm.
How can anyone understand that without either studying it or experiencing it for themselves?
Right.
I think the biggest thing is that China, by Westerners, I think, is seen as a nation state.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't see it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I see China as a civilization that's gone through various empires, various times. And I think, but what stayed the same is the Chinese civilization throughout if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Makes a lot of sense.
And I think that's the first...
The language, Confucianism, not music.
Yeah.
Sure.
But Westerners have this concept of a nation state, which is very different. It's like, oh, this is our land. We are British because of this part of the land. Whereas Chinese people and Chinese civilization, you're Chinese wherever you are in the world, mm-hmm. because it's in your DNA, if that makes sense. Like, I don't go around saying I'm Caucasian, right? I say I'm British.
Sure.
But Chinese is an ethnicity just as much as it is a nation. Mm. And I think that's a very big differentiation between Western psyche and Chinese psyche. Mm-hmm. And yeah, apart from the obvious things like bias propaganda that people are exposed to, I think... Unless you have studied or you've been to China yourself, mm-hmm. people really know very little. So my advice for anyone who would like to come to China mm-hmm. is to do that research, is to listen to different voices from different angles. Mm-hmm. I mean, go on YouTube and listen to the people that say China is, you know, this terrible dictatorship. Go on it. Listen. Go on the and then listen to the alternative view mm-hmm. and then come to China for yourself and make your own choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
make your own decision.
I agree with you. People exchanges, getting more become, you know, I think for me personally, you mentioned how similar the UK is to China first came.
Yeah.
I felt the same way in terms of family values. You know, my family back home is very, you know, conservative in their own way. And, you know, everything is about taking care of your family, taking care of your brother, your sister, your neighborhood, you know, having duty to your town, all that kind of stuff. And I found it's very similar to China. People here are very family oriented, taking care of their parents, taking care of their kids, the brother, sister. So I was like, there's way more that was similar than anything else.
Yeah, and I think deeper than that as well, for me, one of the reasons why I love going to explore these different local cultures, like mm-hmm. like I did in Chaoshan, and I have this wonderful experience. One of the reasons why I can do that is because I feel welcomed.
Yeah.
I feel like I can.
Yeah.
Like, as an outsider going to experience these cultures for the first time, every time I go there, the locals are so happy to see me. Mm-hmm. They're so welcoming. They welcome me with open arms and even invite me in to have a look behind the scenes and to learn more about the culture because they're so proud of it. Mm-hmm. And they also want to share it with more people.
Yeah.
And so it's such a heartwarming experience. And I'm so privileged to have the opportunity as well. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons why I fell in love with Chinese culture is just I was welcomed with open arms. Mm. And how can you not? You know, to be embraced by people like that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's absolutely what I stand for as well.
Yeah.
Because for me, in a world where there are so many voices trying to create division, mm-hmm. I just hope I can use my voice, mm-hmm. no matter how big or small, mm-hmm. to spread just the idea of bringing people together instead of creating division.
Absolutely. You also make a lot of videos. In addition to your vlogs, you make travel videos. You also make music videos. Are you producing the music videos? Is it your vision? Is it someone else's vision? Do you hire a team? Do you have a team? How does that work?
So I will work with my team to come up with ideas. And so I'm kind of like, I'm producer, I guess. So it's like, okay, let's go and make a video in Yunnan and incorporate the local peacock dance and the Dai Zhu Zhuang and these kind of things, and then my team will go out and help me to make that happen and find the right people and makeup artists and dancers and things like that.
It's just so the vision often starts with you have, oh, I want to do it this way. It represents the song to you in this way. Because I notice
it's a discussion. It's definitely a discussion because I also need my team to give me ideas because obviously I'm not from these local areas. So I need to do the research first. Yeah. And obviously I'm one person. I don't have all the time in the world, sadly, to do all of the research myself. So they'll give me ideas and then I will sort of say, okay, well, which ones can we work with? And then move forward from that. It's a collaborative effort.
Sure. You have very good relationship with a lot of Chinese colleagues, and a lot of people are really excited to see you, even people who haven't met you before. After your last show, there was a line of 20 people trying to get your autographs, buy your merchandise and so forth. I have a positive experience of China too. I go out, meet people, they're happy to meet me. But you have obviously a different experience because your music is tying you with people who, you know, they've seen you online and they're very excited to meet you. Can you tell us how your music has influenced your ability to make strong bonds with Chinese people?
I think I'm just very grateful that people enjoy the music that I make.
Yeah.
And it really started the first time I ever sang a Chinese song for Chinese people, for a Chinese audience. Mm. And they abrupted into thunderous applause. And I felt that embrace. I felt that, oh, you're one of us. If you love our culture this much, feel free to make it part of yourself. So I feel like I'm one of them in a lot of respects, because if you love a culture so much and you make it part of yourself, that kind of connection is really strong, is really powerful. So if people are also enjoying the work that I'm making as well, and that just can only sort of reinforce that connection, reinforce that bond. I feel very honored.
Back home, you play piano. What other instrument, Western instruments, had you learned? Guitar, presumably?
Yeah, guitar a little bit, and clarinet.
Clarinet, wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's probably why I can sort of naturally go to the chlusa, maybe.
Oh, so you like wind instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you play piano. Are there similar instruments to piano in China, or would you say that Chinese people also enjoy the piano quite a bit too?
Yeah, and probably of one of the most like world-renowned pianists is also Chinese.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, instruments that are like piano. I don't think there's any instrument in the world that's quite like piano. But there are certain instruments that can fill a similar function, like guzheng.
Yeah, sure. Because essentially, guqing. Piano is kind of a stringed instrument, even though you don't see the string.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's played with hammers. So actually, piano is short for pianoforte, which means soft, loud. Because previously they were harpsichord instruments, but they could only pluck the strings. So there's only one volume. And although it's a nice sound, it was quite limited in terms of the expression that it could portray. So then this guy made a piano, and it could suddenly, by hitting the strings with hammers, can be so much more expressive. So that's how piano came about.
I'd like if you could tell us, because we don't all have your talent, so we can't have the same experiences as you, but you probably have more opportunity to surprise people in interesting circumstances. For example, do you ever go to KTV with people who don't know that you have these talents, and then just when you open up, could you tell us a story like that where maybe people were surprised to see your skills?
I don't really think I have any experiences like that, because if I go to KTV, it's mostly with my friends. Yeah. Although I guess... Oh, you weren't there, were you?
I was tired.
Oh, you were tired. I suddenly remembered. Yeah, I was on a trip in Harbin.
Yeah.
And with a group of foreigners, we all went there to vlog the Harbin city. And I went to the KTV with them afterwards. And yeah, not many of them knew that I was a singer. And actually, I put one of my own songs on in the KTV. In fact, it wasn't me. It was my friend. He put my song
in the KTV.
Yeah, and there was some people, you know, we'd had a few drinks, and there were some people that weren't quite making the connection between, wait, the guy on the TV screen and the guy singing is the same guy.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So now every time I go to the KTV, I'm always like, oh, have they got one of my songs or not?
They oftentimes have massive selections on those computers. In fact, sometimes it's just hooked to the internet, you can get pretty much anything. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
So what about people who are considering moving to China, right? They're like, oh, you know, that does sound interesting. I would like to do that. I would like to come. What kind of advice would you give them to get ready?
I think just probably watch more videos online and do your research. I think the best thing is if you can find a Chinese friend who can introduce the parts of Chinese culture that they really like and share stories about their life, and then come and experience it for yourself.
Be ready for hot water all the time.
That's also good advice.
You know, I found it surprising. Go into a lobby, sit down, someone bring me a little cup of hot water. It's like, okay, thank you. It's scalding hot.
Yeah, I also think come with an open mind. I think that is the most important thing. Come with an open mind and expect to feel overwhelmed because there's so much here.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's in your future? Where are you going in terms of learning instruments or music that you have planned? Or, you know, are you planning on staying in Beijing long term? What do you think is in the next couple of years?
In the next couple of years, I plan to keep traveling around China and writing more songs, getting more inspiration and putting everything that I see and hear into my music. I'm also planning to start a live stream room as well. I'm going to start live streaming.
Well, could you tell us about that?
So I've also found that there are lots of really amazing stories behind some of the products that are in China as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's a part of culture that I haven't really explored yet. It's kind of the gap between the commerce and the culture. So, for example, like Lao Ganma, mm-hmm. this product.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the story of Lao Ganma?
Yeah.
I've never really questioned that, and I'd like to. So who is Lao Ganma? Was she a real person? Was she not? Okay, she wasn't. So why did they choose to use her? Where is it from? Where's the roots of that? And really tell the background stories of these products.
Wow, that's very, very fascinating and interesting. What platforms? So this will be like on?
This will be on Douyin.
Douyin.
Yeah, but I need to reach 1 million followers first. So please follow. Because otherwise I'm not allowed to live stream.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't live stream on Douyin without 1 million followers. I didn't know that. That was a thing.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try a lot harder because I don't even have 10% of that. So.
Jio.
Well, how long did it take you to go from zero to almost 1 million now?
It's taken a few years.
Yeah,
it's taken a few years.
And you upload a lot of content.
Yeah, I do.
So for your content that is in English, do you have subtitles?
Yeah, I have subtitles in English and Chinese.
So even when you're singing a Chinese song, there's Chinese subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I hope to let as many people understand it as possible. So sometimes, in fact, some of the funny comments I get are some of the haters, because everyone has haters, right? It's, the Chinese version is so much better than the English version. Wow. But actually, they're just reading the Chinese translation of the English version.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Right?
Yeah,
I've also heard a lot of covers of Chinese music that are just both are really good. The original and the new version are both really, really impressive.
Thank you. And also, it's really important that I write down the Chinese translation of the English lyrics as well, because the meanings change a little bit, or the metaphors that I'm using are different.
And you know, translation in itself is actually really challenging, because are you translating the literal translation or are you translating meaning behind the lyrics?
No, I'm definitely not translating directly, because if you translate directly, in fact, there's a funny guy on Bilibili who does this.
Yeah.
He translates Chinese songs directly into English and they sound terrible, but that's the idea. It's for comedy value. It's hilarious.
Oh yeah, sure.
So what I need to do is to really get behind the meaning behind the lyrics. Mm-hmm. So every lyric has a surface level meaning, like a direct meaning, but mm-hmm. then there's a culture behind that.
Yeah.
And then there are metaphors that are being used to express certain things. So like, for example, the moon in Chinese culture represents loneliness.
Oh yeah.
But it doesn't really represent loneliness in the West, right?
I'm not really sure. I think Jung said is mystery or something like that. Mysteriousness.
Yes. So when I think of the moon, I think of Michael Jackson turning into a werewolf.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think of loneliness, because right. the stories that we tell around certain things are different. So there's a whole cultural background behind certain things that are very different. So a song like The Moon Represents My Heart is kind of difficult to translate,
yeah.
because the moon doesn't represent loneliness.
Right.
So what metaphor do you use to represent loneliness then?
Well, that's just one aspect of what you do. I have another question, actually. I kind of already asked all my questions, but I still have a lot left over anyway. You mentioned working with people who play other instruments, and you know, you're helping conduct, you're in a conversation about where the music is going. Are there sometimes when you want a specific Chinese instrument or a Western instrument and you have to bring in someone special just for that song because you don't have anyone on your team right now, currently maybe, who plays that instrument specifically?
So I work with players mostly in Beijing.
Yeah.
A lot of them are students at the music school here. Other people are people that have recommended to me through friends in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I work with some regular players as well. I have like my Swan Hour player, and if my Swan Hour player isn't available, then I've got a backup, and then I've got like,
yeah,
I can always ask around. I've got a big enough network to be able to find the players that I need.
I guess the next question would be, you know, you mentioned at the beginning that there are so many varieties of music that you'll never be able to explore them all because Chinese culture is so deep.
Yeah.
So are there sometimes when you're thinking about in my future 3 or 4 songs, I would like to play with this specific kind of music and cross it with a guitar? Are you having that kind of vision where you're like, well, I haven't done that yet? That's got to come down the line at some point.
Yeah, for sure. There are so many ideas I've got on the shelf, if you like,
sure.
that I haven't gotten around to yet, but they're kind of shouting at me. Please come and pay attention to me. One of them is actually toys.
Toys? Like toys?
Yes, ancient toys.
Ancient toys?
Yeah, so I filmed an interview in one of the hutongs in a small shop, like a cultural shop. And there were so many relics, and there were toys. They're all toys, and they had the most incredible sounds.
Wow.
So I would love to...
Toy musical instruments?
Yeah, like toys. Like whistles and little, little percussion things. And some of them you can actually make melodies. So I'm thinking about maybe some of them only have one pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it'd be a really interesting idea to combine the kind of ancient... toy with a technology and sample them. So sample the sound and then I can repitch the sound.
Oh yeah, sure.
And then make a melody from that. Well, I think that would be a really cool idea.
Yeah, that is really next level, kind of almost techno level sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. Very, very interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Sean, for coming on The Bridge. And we can find you on Douyin and we can also find you on YouTube. Where would you prefer people find you?
Anywhere that's easiest for them.
And so just look up Sean Gibson. Is there a Chinese name that...
Xiaoan.
If you're in China and you're on Douyin, find him, Xiaoan.
Yeah.
And maybe he can make it to a million.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.